required to please God? Can you please Him with your works, with your own devotion, with your family name, with your church membership? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a powerful and timely message about pleasing God. So, stay tuned and be blessed. And now here is Pastor Jim.
But there was another call that went out. And this call is the effectual call, is what we call it. Some call it the call of the elect, the call of the chosen. Some call it God opening the eyes of man. Whatever you call it, there is another call that goes out that is irresistible. The calls are supposed to go out, not in, by the way. That call is irresistible. What that call is what we talk about here all the time. I try to get this into most messages. And that is when God changes the heart. When God regenerates the heart. When we go from being dead in our trespasses and sins to alive, it is His quickening of the heart. And that quickening of the heart opens the eyes, opens the ears. We can hear those spiritual things and see those spiritual things in God's Word. But part of that is we can see our sin and our need for a Savior. Our need for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We come to an understanding of what Paul says when Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And so we do answer that call. Why? Because God has given us the eyes and ears to see who we are and to see our need. And when we see who we are and we see our sin, we see our own wretchedness. And this isn't banter, folks. This isn't just preacher talk. This is who we are. We are wretched. We are wicked individuals. There is not one who is good, not one of us. And when we see that, we see our need for the Savior. Until we understand our own wretchedness, until we understand our own sin, we will think that somehow we're okay. We'll think that, well, as long as I do enough, whatever, as long as I give enough, whatever, I'll get there. But once we have been regenerated, once we have seen the effectual call, we surrender. I used to have a problem with the idea of irresistible grace. And you say, well, how could you have a problem with that? I heard you say it. The way I could have a problem with that was I remembered resisting God's call, thinking that I was disqualified because of my own lifestyle, but I did not understand. And until my eyes were open, I did not know the depths and the power of the Savior. That Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world is the one who went and stood in my place, took my sin upon Himself. And when God said that the wages of sin is death through Paul's writings, He was that for me. He took my death. Or as the scriptures say, He was my propitiation. He stood in my place that I would not have to. This is the Lamb of God. This is His invitation. The scriptures teach us, Jesus teaches us in the scriptures, that all that the Father has given Him will come. He also teaches, my sheep know my voice. When is it important to know His voice? That's what that effectual call is. His sheep, when He calls them, will know. Who are His sheep? Those are the ones that God has given Him. And of them, not one will be lost. Not one. They will come. Jesus took my sin, my punishment, so that I did not have to. Recently, somebody was asking me about this very thing. And I gave him the explanation that I had gotten a ticket for going way too fast in a school zone. And when I went to court for that ticket, this is an illustration, this is not something that took place, just so you know. When I went to court for that ticket, the judge said, "You are guilty, and that will be $1,000 or 10 days in jail." I didn't have $1,000. So that meant I had 10 days coming in jail. When somebody in the courtroom stood up and said, "Your Honor, I'll pay that $1,000. The judge marked my ticket paid. I was no longer under a sentence to pay a punishment because it was taken care of. My sin is the same way. When I stand before the throne of God and that book is opened, my sins are written in that book, aren't they? But Jesus paid them. He paid them all. And so my debt has been paid. I no longer owe a debt to sin. I do not. Why? Because of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's what John the Baptist is pointing out. That's who Jesus is. And so Jesus comes. And as Jesus comes to him to be baptized, the Gospels teach us that he wants to refuse. He wants to refuse to baptize Jesus because he understands that Jesus is greater than he is. But Jesus tells him it must be done. And so he does. But here in this Gospel of John, we see John the Baptist say in verse 30, "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.'" Now Luke has gone to great intention of making sure we understood that there is how much difference between the conceiving and the birth of Jesus and John. Remember? There's 6 months difference. There's 6 months difference. But John says, "He came before me." Well, he certainly didn't come to the Jordan to baptize before John. He certainly wasn't born or even conceived before John. How did he come before him? Oh, the people of Jesus' hometown became very upset when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was I." When Genesis says, "Let us make man in our image," there in the "us" is the Son. Jesus always was. There never was a time that the Son did not exist. From all eternity past, not just time, but all eternity past and all eternity forward, always has Jesus been there. And he ranks before him. He ranks before all of us. Verse 31 says, "I myself did not know him. But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." In the flesh, none of us have met Jesus Christ, have we? In the spirit, we have. But in the flesh, none of us have met Jesus Christ. But as John came baptizing to reveal this to Israel, you and I who belong to Christ, who know him in the spirit, you and I need to be revealing him to all the world. To every place and every way, you and I need to be revealing him. Verse 32 says, "And John," I'm still in the Gospel of John, "and John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.'" We get this idea that the Spirit looks like a dove. Have you ever seen a dove in the place of a spirit, in the place of the Holy Spirit. We see those, don't we? I mean, there's people who have a little dove on the back of their car for the Holy Spirit. It didn't say that he looked like a dove. He says he descended like a dove. So as John continues to reveal what he knows about the Christ, because that's who and what he was sent for. Back in Luke, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, and was praying, the heavens were opened. The heavens were opened. You know, when Stephen was martyred, when Stephen was stoned to death, it says that the heavens opened, and he saw into heaven, didn't he? And he saw the Lord Jesus there waiting for him. The heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." What does it take to please God? Do you and I please God? What about us pleases God? Is there anything about us that pleases God? The only thing about us that pleases God is the Son in us, isn't it? Without the Son in us, your works, we get all mixed up and caught up with really nice people and think that that means they're good people, even though they don't know Jesus Christ. Recently, and maybe it was one of you all, I don't remember, but sometime this week, somebody came and talked to me and was talking to me about, is there more than one heaven, more than one hell, or different levels of hell? Is there? Hell is hell. Hell is hell. And those people who we think are awful nice people, even though they do not know Jesus Christ, it is reserved for them. Eternal torment. It is reserved for them. The only way anyone goes to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us in John, the Gospel of John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He also tells us that he is the door. What is it that pleases God? His Son pleases him. And for you and I to please God, it begins and ends with Jesus, us being in him and him being in us. If you tell me you have Jesus in your heart, but that's all you got, I'm here to tell you you've missed something. Because if you aren't in him and he isn't in all of you, you're missing something. The work of the cross. The work of the cross. If we want to please him, we need the Son. Some things that we can see, and some of this I got from John Piper in studying with some of his stuff on pleasing God. God has pleasure in the Son. That's where he's pleased. And apart from that, you and I will not please him. The second thing is the Son of God has the fullness of deity. We know the pleasure of God rests in the Son, who is God. God's pleasure is in himself. All these people who want you to believe that God was missing something, and that's why he created man, is so that he could be fulfilled, have taught you a lie. These people who want you to believe that God needed you. Anytime you read something in a study that says God needs, stop reading. Because God has no needs. He is fulfilled completely in himself. I saw something the other day that God needs you to read Scripture. Folks, if you know him, you need to read Scripture. Not because God needs it, because you need it. And the Son is the fullness of deity. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have no need outside of themselves. They are complete. But let's not miss what Scripture says. Why did God create man? For His own pleasure. Not that man pleases God, but His Son in man. Man in His Son brings honor and glory to His name. Third thing, according to Piper, is the Son in whom God delights is the eternal image and reflection of God, and is thus God Himself. The Son is the image of God. So when we are in the Son, remember the illustration that I've given many, many times that came from Tony, that I got from Tony years ago, Tony Mattia, about us being in God, and when God looks at us, all He sees is the Son, because we're in the Son. God delights in Himself. God delights in the Son. And that's where we are. If that's where we are, then God delights in us. In the beginning, the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was complete. God did not need man. We get that so confused. And I've had people say, well, it must be a terrible God if He is able to be complete in Himself. I've heard of people who have said that He must be narcissistic. He must be prideful. Oh, how the blind cannot see. If they could see, those would not be the words. I was with a man this last week who was cursing God. I had to remember who I was in Christ, because I just wanted to slap him. But that wasn't the right thing to do. In Christ, we are beautiful creatures that please God. Outside of Christ, we are not. I heard a story of a couple who dated for a period of time, and then they got married. And the first morning of the honeymoon, after the day they were married, the wife woke up without any makeup on. He said, I didn't know you looked like that. To him, she was beautiful with her makeup, and maybe not so much so without it. To God, we are beautiful in Christ, not so much so without Him. The fourth one from Piper, the pleasure of God in His Son is pleasure in Himself. This is what we've been talking about. The foundation of our salvation is the infinite regard that the Father has for the Son. How many of the fallen angels will be saved? Anybody? Everybody's head's going this way. None. None. Doesn't God need that third that He created? Remember, He doesn't need anything. He is complete in Himself. None of them will be saved. And none of us has to be saved either. It is only the good pleasure of God that saves us. That's it. The good pleasure in the Son. This sounds hard, maybe. But I want to read some scripture to you here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Or Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him, by who? The Father, who said to him, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. Romans 1:4, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, there are some religious people who call themselves Christian who do not believe that Jesus is God. Then there's other groups other cults that believe Jesus became a God, but didn't start out as one. The world does not believe that Jesus is God. I've actually had people tell me, point blank, it doesn't say anywhere in the scripture that Jesus is God. And when I first pointed out, it says all over that he's the Son of God, they said, well, that's different. I'm the Son of God too. Well, it points out very directly that he is God in fullness of deity. I want to jump over to 1 Peter for a second. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. That's what we needed to be in him. That's what we needed to please God. If you Google how to please God, there will be some who tell you the truth in Christ. But there will be all sorts of different systems, different steps that you can take to please God. And they're lies. They're lies. Remember the Tower of Babel? What were they trying to do when they built the Tower of Babel? Anyone remember? Anyone tell me? They were trying to build it high enough to reach God. Now I'm telling you, I don't care how high they could have built it. It would not have touched our skyscrapers of today. And our skyscrapers of today, without Jesus Christ, you, from the top, you cannot see God. Cynthia and I were in Vegas one time, and there's this place that has this observation deck, and it's a mile and a half up in the, felt like 10 miles up in the sky. But you couldn't see him from there if you do not have Jesus, if you are not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you cannot please him. In John 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. As we start to bring this to a close, I remember a story from Jesus and the disciples are traveling, and they are traveling through Samaria, and they come to a well. And Jesus stays at the well while the disciples go to get food. Remember this story? And a woman comes to Jesus. She comes to the well. And then she talks with Jesus, and Jesus tells her about her past. Soon she runs and she tells the city people in that community about this one. And she says, surely this is the Savior of the world. And she brings them out there and they talk with Jesus and they hear from him. And in verse 32 of John, excuse me, verse 42 of John chapter 4, they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Jesus, whom God the Father is well pleased, is the Savior of the world. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins. He is the one. He is the one in whom we must be. You know, I think I had been a Christian many, many years before I ever heard the first time that I had to be in Christ. Now, some of it was because I hadn't read those places in the scripture yet. But that's not what's taught. What's taught is that we somehow capture Jesus like a genie in the bottle. But the bottle is the heart, and we stuff him in there, and we call upon him when we have a need. That is blindness. Jesus is the Lamb of God who is God, and there is none other like him. And in him, the Father is pleased. Please stand with me. Father, I lift up to you this message, Father. Oh, Lord, I stumbled and tripped over my own tongue throughout this message. But that doesn't matter, Lord, because what I have to say and what I do is not have any power, but what you do has all power. So I pray, Father, that you use this message for your glory's sake, and that those who are here would know that they need to be in the Son and that you'd be glorified in them. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Oh, my beloved, this is the only question that matters for all of eternity. Are you found in Christ? Is He in you? Are you known by Him as His own? Beloved, there's nothing else that will matter when you stand before God on the Day of Judgment. There's only the relationship that you have with Jesus and the relationship that He has with you. And here's the truth. You do have a relationship with Him, no matter how you see Him. The issue is, what kind of a relationship is it? Is it the relationship of a Savior to His beloved child? Or is it the relationship of the judge to the condemned? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. If you're not found in Jesus Christ, then you will be condemned for your own life. But if you are found in Him, He has already borne your condemnation and carried away the wrath of God that was for you. I urge you, in the name of Jesus, fly to the cross and be forgiven. Be converted, and the Lamb of God will take away your sin. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene. On behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Today, I would just like to take a couple of minutes to encourage you. First and foremost, we want you to know that if we can come alongside of you in any way, contact us through the ministry, and we will be glad to do what we can to pray with you over the phone, whatever it might be. We live in a world that is constantly beating against the truth. And if we stand for truth, it's constantly beating against us because it hates Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let us encourage you. I was looking at some scriptures about encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is something we need to be doing every day. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Friends, the day is drawing near. The day of Christ's return is coming close. And as we wait for His return, we need to be ready. We need to praise Him, and we need to encourage each other to look to Him. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. He's the one that we take everything to. But as His servants, we here at Lighthouse would be glad to come alongside of you. So contact us and let us know what we can do to encourage you and to come alongside you. And then I'll just close with this scripture. Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We have a loving, merciful God who wants to uphold us, who wants us to put all of our cares upon Him. Let's just turn to Him for His glory's sake. Till next time, friends, sola Deo Gloria.